actually been startled to hear about this recent report that Pope John Paul II evidently on a regular basis practiced what they call taking the discipline as an ascetical practice. It means striking the body with a small kind of belt or a whip. John Paul evidently had this belt with him. He hung it up in the closet with his vestments. And they said he never went even on vacation without taking this belt along with him. He also, they said, practiced the discipline of sleeping on the hardwood floor of his bedroom. And he would even mess up the sheets and blankets the next morning so as not to draw attention to what he had done. Now, I realize a lot of contemporary people might look at that and say, well, it seems like bizarre behavior, maybe even born of psychological repression or complexes and so on. The author who reported these things wanted to do so to draw attention to how holy John Paul was. But I'm afraid a lot of people today might read that and say, well, I think actually rather less of John Paul, having heard about that. I think it might be helpful to reflect on this phenomenon of taking the discipline as we approach the holy season of Lent, a time when mortification and asceticism are very much in the forefront. It's first of all important to point out that this is by no means unique to John Paul II. This practice of taking the discipline was recommended and was enacted by some of the great spiritual teachers and masters of our tradition. In fact, it was part of the ascetical discipline of almost all the great religious orders up until the time of Vatican II. Secondly, it's very important to excise from our minds any kind of Da Vinci Code fantasies about wanton acts of, you know, masochism. The instrument involved usually was a little rope with some knots tied in it, and the actual physical pain involved was relatively minimal. But still, how do we make sense of this practice? What does it mean? I think a couple of things. First of all, taking the discipline, like all ascetical practices, is an attempt to participate in the sufferings of Christ. The Christian spiritual life is not just an ethical system following some moral principles. It's something very personal. The Christian spiritual life is participating in Christ, or better, allowing Christ to live his life in us. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Well, see, allowing Christ to live his life in you means a lot. It means you identify with his preaching, with his joyful prayer, with his identification with sinners, and with his atoning suffering. Christ living his life in you means he will suffer in you. Why did Christ suffer? As an atonement for sin. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He bore the weight of sin. He took upon himself the punishment for sin. And so we, even now, even today, participate in that same dynamic. We can, by accepting suffering consciously and willingly, and identifying ourselves with Jesus, we can share in his atoning suffering. We can, in our own bodies, bear something of the sin of the world. St. Paul also said, we make up in our own bodies what's still lacking in the suffering of Christ. There's an important corollary to all this, and I've talked about it before. It's Charles Williams' idea of co-inherence, meaning we exist in each other. We don't exist as isolated individuals, but we participate in each other. Therefore, I can bear your burdens. You can bear my burdens. I can bear suffering that perhaps you have, and I can lighten your load thereby. That's because we're all connected to each other. I think John Paul II especially had a very rich sense of that co-inherent reality. Something else, now, a second thing I say about taking the discipline. It's a means of legitimately disciplining the body. Now, I've said many times, I'll say it again, Catholics are not Puritans. We don't think the body's a bad thing. We don't think matter is opposed to spirit. We're not dualists. We're not Manichaeans. So it's not that game at all. However, we know that because of original sin, the body and its passions become disordered. The passions are often at war with each other, and together they refuse the control of reason or of the spirit. And so the body and its passions need from time to time not to be eliminated. That's Puritanism. but to be ordered or disciplined. Thomas Merton, the great spiritual teacher, said that the desires of the body for food and sex and drink and pleasure are a bit like children. Children want what they want when they want it. They're very persistent in their demands. So Merton said, just as if you don't discipline a child and his desires, he will soon take over the house. In a similar way, if you don't discipline the desires of the body, they will end up running the whole person before you know it. And so from time to time, they have to be checked, limited, disciplined. I think the taking of the discipline, what John Paul II did, is a kind of dramatic and very pointed example of this kind of disciplining. Now, I realize some people, even having heard these two explanations, might still balk a bit at this and still wonder what the point of it is. Well, I might draw their attention to their local gym, their local workout center. You go over there to a Bally's or to an Export or someplace like that, and you'll see what? You'll see an awful lot of people sweating their way through a Stairmaster, on the treadmill, on the elliptical machine. You'll see people who are agonizing their way through push-ups and pull-ups and kettlebell routines and all sorts of things. They're putting their bodies through a terrible discipline. Now, why? Because they hate their bodies? No, they're trying to discipline this tendency toward laziness, a tendency toward self-absorption. They're kind of rousing their body out of that torpor, that laziness. And also, these same people probably are putting extraordinary checks on their desire for sumptuous and fatty foods. They're going to eat all sorts of things that maybe they don't immediately desire, precisely now to make their bodies healthier. Can we imagine, see, this is the heart of the ascetical discipline in the church. Can we imagine taking upon oneself even corporal suffering, even a kind of corporal pain, precisely so as to affect the health of the soul? I think that's the heart of the matter.